You read in Daniel, the 7th chapter. Daniel has a vision. He has a dream. He has a dream of these four beasts that, and I'm not trying to be weird this morning. Oh, you're getting weird. Oh, it's going to make people uncomfortable. I'm sorry. I'm going to be apostolic, and I'm going to try to follow the Holy Ghost. I'm, you know, if this makes you uncomfortable, I'm sorry. But there's something that Satan is trying to create a distraction. You read in Daniel, the 7th chapter, he begins to talk about that there are four beasts that come up. And he's talking in a future sense. It's a prophetic chapter as he begins to talk about these four beasts. He says, one is going to be like a lion. He said, one of them's going to be like a bear. And the other one is going to be like a leopard. And three of the beasts that come out, he names the names of them. He names what they're like. So when he names what they're like, that means that there are tendencies that there are about them, that a lion is different than a bear, and a bear is different than a leopard, that they have certain tendencies, they have certain things about them, there are certain characteristics about them that you know where they're going to be, you know where they live, you know what they eat, you know how to trap them, you know what attracts them. There's certain tendencies to these animals that he calls out, but he gets to the fourth one, and he begins to talk about the fourth one, and you can read about it in verse 7 and 8, or you can read about him in the 23rd verse of this chapter. But he begins to talk about the fourth beast, and he doesn't have a name for this beast. This beast is different than every other beast. He can't think of an animal that he can compare this to. He can't think of a creature that can be aligned with this one. He can't think of something that lines up with this beast. All he can call it is a beast. He says that it's a beast and it has iron teeth and it grounds things and its feet trods the ground and it tramples things and its desire is to devour everything. Everything. It doesn't have friends. It doesn't have cohorts. It doesn't have partners. Its desire is to devour everything. And then the 25th verse, it begins to talk about its purpose on this earth. And it's talking about the beast that lives today. The spirits that we battle against right now. You can say, oh, that's all hocus pocus. And I'm sorry, it's a real world. That world was here long before we ever got here. We're not real. They're real. We're the secondary part that Christ created with that world. And so it says in the 25th verse, it says, and he shall speak great words against the Most High. That this beast is going to speak great words against the Most High. What does that sound like right now? Everything is against God and against Christianity. He says, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. What's going on right now? What's happening? I talked to a pastor yesterday, the pastor's church that we were at. He went to witness in an apartment complex, and the manager of an apartment complex, this isn't in Washington, D.C., this isn't somewhere up north. The manager of the apartment complex in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, called the cops on him, and he was arrested for going and knocking on someone's door to tell them about Jesus. He had to go to court. It was in the paper. He was arrested for knocking on someone's door to tell them about Jesus, and not the person that had been to church that lived on the other side of the door didn't want them there. The apartment manager didn't want them there, and they called the police on him. He was arrested for it. And the sheriff, who was his friend, said, I'm sorry, I hate this, but it's the law. The law, he said, we've got to take you down. We've got to bring you in. They didn't cuff him, but they made him come down to the courthouse with him. He had to go to court for it. He had to stand before the judge. He could have gotten probation for witnessing to somebody's house. So desires to change the times and the laws. It says, and they shall be given unto his hand until the time of times and the dividing of time. That his desire is to wear out the saints. There weren't saints in Daniel's time. There wasn't saints there with Daniel. What was he talking about? He was talking about the future. You know, if I've been bear hunting, if I was supposed to go bear hunting again this year, and then we're having a baby, so I've got to pay for something else, and I know I've been three times, and so I know how to bear hunt. I know what's supposed to be done. I know what to do. I know where they hide. I know what kind of gun you need. I'm gonna get my 45-70, and then I'm gonna get something. You can be seated, but I know how to hunt a bear. If you were going duck hunting, you would know what to get. You would understand what you needed. When you're hunting a specific thing, you know what you need. You know what it's going to take. There, some of you this next week are going to your deer lease. You're going to begin to fill up the corn. You're going to begin to get that ready for deer season because you know what it takes to trap and to kill a deer. But we're not talking about something that Daniel could even say, I knew what it was. I know what a lion looks like. I know what a bear looks like. I know what a leopard looks like. But he said, I'm talking about something that was terrifying to me, he said. It brought great fear into my spirit. I was afraid of what I saw. I couldn't even put a name on this creature. It was some kind of a beast with teeth of iron that it destroyed everything, that it was fearful. And its only desire was to wear out the saints of the Most High. Now, this is interesting to me because an animal that is this vicious, an animal that is this strong, an animal that is this violent, an animal that has this kind of capability, why would its main goal, its main avenue of operating be to wear somebody out? There are people in this room that Satan will never get you to do drugs ever again because you've made up your mind you're going to live for God. There are people in this room, you will never make mistakes in your life that you maybe made in your past or mistakes that Satan's tempted with you. You will never make those mistakes because you've made up your mind. I've moved beyond that. I've gone beyond that point. I've gone beyond that place. I've gone beyond that. But if Satan can do everything he can to keep the daily grind, daily frustration, daily pushing, daily messing with, daily problems, daily trying to mess with, daily questions on your mind, there's something about it that it can become weary. And there's something about being weary that causes you to begin to make bad decisions. There's something about being weary that causes you to begin to do things that you don't normally do. There's something about it. You see people that have new children, newly married, different life-changing events that happen in their lives, and it seems like after that event, they struggle because it's a different life. There's a weariness to it. There's a struggle of two lives coming together, trying to take care of this baby and work and everything else, and everything that goes into it, it creates a weariness in people's lives. There's something about it that when we begin to get tired, when we begin to get weary, that things begin to happen. We create question marks in our mind. You look at Eve as Eve was standing there looking at that tree, and Satan came to her with a question. It was a period. It was a command. It was a definite no. But when Satan brings it to us, he always brings it with a question mark on the end of it. It was a command, thou shalt not eat of the tree of good and evil. But when Satan brings it to him, look at it in Genesis 3, and I believe the second verse, when he brings it to her, he says, did God really say that you shouldn't eat of this tree? It was a question mark. Is it really that big of a deal? Is it really, why can't we just bend it a little bit? Why can't we just change it a little bit? Why can't we just move it just a little bit? There's a reason that there are people in this room that have problems going on in your homes and you can't name what it is that's creating the problem. There's a reason that there are people that said under the sound of my voice that there's a war going on in your marriage and you can't even put your finger on where it came from. You can't even name it. You can't claim what animal it is that brought it into your home. It's something else. If you know what it is, you know how to fight it. If you know what it is, you know what you need to get rid of it. You know what you need to dispose of something out of your life. But when there's something in your life that you don't even know where it came from, how it got there, and how to even put a name or describe what it is, that is terrifying. When your marriage is in disarray and you sit back and you wonder, where did this come from? How did this happen? Where is this coming from? What is going on here? Why the tension? Why the anger? Why the frustration? Why the fear? Why the things that are going on in our life? Why the anxiety? Why the pain? Why all the stuff that's going on? If you could put your finger on it and knew where it came from, that would be one thing, because if you can identify it, you can hunt it. You can destroy it and you can kill it. But when you can't even put a name on it, when you sit across from the table from your wife and there's a war going on and you can't even think in your mind why this fight is happening, when you wake up in the middle of the night and fear grips your spirit and you can't even figure out why that is happening, when you lay in bed at night and you wonder why you can't sleep and the anxiety is too much and you wonder, what is going on? Why is this happening in my life? What is going on here? What is the situation? Why am I feeling what I'm feeling? There's something about that moment in time that brings fear into your life, because if you could name it, if you could say that's a leopard or a bear or a lion, then now we can take the right steps to eliminate it and to eradicate it out of our lives. But when we have no clue what it is, and Daniel is troubled in his spirit because he sees something that is moving in an end time that you can't even put a name on it. But its main goal is to wear out the saints of the Most High. Why am I frustrated? Why am I upset? Why am I frustrated with what's going on here? Why am I allowing this person to get to me? Why am I angry about this? Why is this going on in my life? Why? What's the deal? I don't know. And you, wait a minute. Something's not right. Some of us, we don't even understand that what you're fighting is a spiritual battle. That what's going on in your own home is something that is spiritual. It has nothing to do with the person sitting across the table from you. It has nothing to do with your children. It has nothing to do with your family. It has everything to do with the enemy. And we don't talk about it because it's not tangible. We can't put our hands on it. We can't put our fingers on it. We can't get a hold of it. But the problem is that there's a very real world that its only desire is to wear you out. Its only desire is to get you to a place that you are so tired that you say, you know what? I think I'm done. I'm finished. I think I'm going to sleep in on a Sunday. I think I'm not going to pray today. I think I'm not going. There's something about it that in this day and time, there is no time for us to take breaks in our relationship with God. There is no time for us to take breaks or vacations in our relationship with God. I'm not saying don't go on vacation. No, I'm talking about in your relationship with God. 2 weeks ago, we went to my in-laws, and Jace was way out of his sort. He was mad all night long. He didn't like the sleeping situations. He was in a room with us. There was people everywhere, noise all over the house, and he was up constantly all night long. And so I was up with him all night, every night, and I was tired. I couldn't sleep. I was miserable. Normally, when I go to my in-laws, I want to go to the church and pray, or I'll find a room while everybody else is playing games, and I'll try to spend some time with Jesus. Jesus, because there's something about it that it just soothes my soul. I want to be close to my Creator. But this week I was busy. I was tired. We went. And we'd get home and I would just fall in the bed and get 3 hours of sleep and get up and rock and mess with Jace all day long, and then he'd sleep through the day, and everybody wanted to visit, and family was in from all over. And I remember at the end of that week, I just felt so weak and tired. I was just felt so disconnected from my Creator. It hadn't been that long. It had only been 5 days, but I remember that Saturday night when I came back into the church, and I just missed him, and I wanted to be close to him, but there was such a disconnect that was there. There was such a distance that I felt between me and him that it only took 5 days, but I had to get back and push and work through all of the mess and all of the junk and then being tired and to find that place with God again. There's something about it that every now and again you've got to understand that you've got to just get back in step with God. There's something about, you look at Adam and Eve, that they got out of sync with God. I can't imagine what they felt that day as they stood there, as they're standing in the garden, and all of a sudden they realize that even though they've got the juice of this fruit running down their face, even though their belly is full of this fruit, there was an emptiness that they'd never felt before in their life. And on top of that emptiness, they begin to hear God walking in the garden like he'd always walked with them. But there wasn't a desire to run and get close to him this time. The desire was the first negative emotion they ever felt, and it was fear. They ran and they hid and they covered themselves, and the shame that they felt and the hopelessness that came over them. I can't imagine as they left the garden and the gate slammed behind them and the angel stood there and they looked into a world that they'd never seen before. They heard a lion's roar that in past time that meant that, oh, he was coming and we were going to pet him. But now he had a different look and they had to worry about things they'd never worried about for. They felt the cool of the air. They felt sickness in their body. They felt a scratch in the throat and a headache. And they didn't understand what was going on in the hopelessness of everything that they felt. And there's something about it as we begin to feel hopeless. Hopeless. Case in point, somebody comes to you this week and they ask you about your Jesus. They ask you about God. You have the opportunity to witness to them. When this lame man that was on the side of the road was laying there lame and he can't walk and he can't move and he's making alms and besides the gate beautiful and Peter walks by and he reaches up and calls for alms, the first thing that Peter says is, look at me. Look at me. Put your eyes on me. I want you to look at me. And then he makes the statement, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. Rise up and walk. If somebody comes to you this week and they say, hey, I want to know about your Jesus, I don't want to, that makes me uncomfortable. Don't look at me. I've got shame. I've got hopelessness. I've got things going on in my life. I'm struggling with things in my marriage. I'm struggling with things in my world. I'm struggling with things at school. I'm struggling with things that are going. I'm weary. I don't have what it takes to give you what you need. I don't want to make a mistake and you be lost. So instead of saying, hey, look at me, I've got the answer, we'd be willing to say, I don't have anything. Silver and gold have I none. I don't have anything. We're more apt to tell everybody with what's wrong in our lives than we are to say, hey, I've got the answers to what's right in your life. We're more apt to tell everybody everything that's not right in our lives rather than we are to say, hey, why don't you take a good long look at me? I've got the answer that you need. I've got what you need for your life. But the enemy's got some of us so weary and worn down. There are people that are missing here today that I've set on this platform and and my soul cries out inside, what is going on? What is happening? Because there's something that is stirring that Satan understands. That church is on the brink of something awesome. That church is on the brink of something that they're going to go to another level and they'll never go that way again. I've got to work overtime. I've got to distract. I've got to get them busy. I got to get them over here. I got to get this one over there. I got to make sure this is going on. I got to stir this up. I got to get this going. And all of a sudden, it's not one big thing. It's just a bunch of little weary things. It's not major things. It's not. It's just a bunch of weariness. And we come to church, and instead of throwing our hands in the air, we'll let so-and-so throw their hands in the air. But the problem is, they're fighting the same monster you're fighting. And they're thinking, I think so-and-so is going to throw their hands in the air and they're going to carry it today. And the problem is if you could put your finger on it, you'd throw your hands in the air and you'd call it out and you would worship and you'd come down to the front and you'd get some of your friends around and you'd pray about it. But because you don't understand where it's coming from, we just keep going and fighting and struggling. See, you've got to understand that you've got to stay in sync with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's something about it that when you make up your mind that, hey, you know what? I'm going to follow after him. I'm going to let his spirit move and flow in my life. That I've got to do everything that I can to stay connected to him and what he's doing in my life. That I've got to make sure that I'm close to where he is and what he wants to do in my life. That we all know the 23rd Psalm as we can quote it. And it's something that it talks about how that it's a good place. It's an awesome place that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's something about it that it's a place that he keeps us. It's a place that we desire. It's a place of scripture that we read when things are bad. It's a place, it's a scripture that we hold on to when everything is not going our way. That the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures and leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before mine in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely the goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in his house forevermore. Now that scripture sounds a whole lot different than Daniel 7 about a beast that's going to destroy our lives. About a beast that's going to cause us to be weary. About a beast that's going to cause us to be at a place that his only job is to cause us to backslide. And we can't even put a name upon what it is. There's something about it. Everybody wants what this scripture says. But in order for me to get this scripture, I first have to be a sheep that follows him. Why does he have all of these blessings? Because the Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. We want to have all the questions in the world. We want to be able to bend all of the rules in the world. We want to be able to live as close to the world as possible. We want to have as much of the world in our lives and still feel safe and saved. And we can't understand why we don't have his blessings in our lives. We've got to understand that his blessings follow the people that are following after him. The blessings follow the people that are saying, God, I've got to be in sync with you. I've got to be close to you. I'm tired of being far away from you. I'm tired of battling all of this mess. I've got to get into your presence. He said that he creates a table before mine enemies. He creates a table before my enemies. Some theologians believe that he's talking about a table before war. That you're about to go into battle. And they would sit down at tables between the two adversaries, and they would begin to discuss the terms and the things of war before they would go into battle. They would begin to determine who was going to surrender and who was going to go into battle. And they would determine all of this stuff before they went into war. And then they would get up from the table and they would go to fight. The problem is some of us never make it to the table. God's saying, I know what's going on in your life. I can name this. What all of the dysfunction that is happening right now is something that is spiritual. And if you'll let me work, if you'll come to the table and sit down with me, if you'll get in sync with me, if you'll allow me to begin to move and flow in your life, this thing that looks like it's about to destroy your marriage and your life, I can take it and I can straighten it all out. I can put things back together that the world has torn asunder. I can make things right that everybody else says that they'll never be right again. But somewhere along the way, you've got to make up your mind. I've got to get in sync with where he's at. I've got to get back in step with what's going on. I've got to get back in step with him. I've got to get back in step with what God is wanting to do in my life. Some of the military men that sit in this room, you can know what it's like to be marching and look around and realize you're the only one marching to the own beat of your drum. And you might have to speed up a little bit and get back. Or you might have to slow down a little bit and get your feet back and get back in the rhythm and the cadence of what's going on. God's reaching for some people in this room this morning. He longs to be in cadence with you. He longs to be in cadence, that the rhythm of his heart is the rhythm of the beat that we walk to and that we live by. That I'm not trying to create so many questions that I begin to even doubt him, but that I'm trying to do everything that I can to get into his presence. God, I can't afford to go on break. I can't afford to slow down. I can't afford to give up. I can't afford to turn around. I can't afford to do something else. There's too much going on. There's stuff out there that you can't even put names on. There's things that are coming against my family that I don't even understand where they're coming from. And the only way that I'm going to make it, the only way that I'm going to get victory is I've got to begin to start sitting down with you. I've got to get in a quiet place in the midst of this storm. Oh, the battle's about to rage. The war's about to happen. The armies are coming together. And we step out and we try to do it under our own strength and under our own power. But if you would back up and stop and you would find that quiet place, God, I want to sit down with you today. I've got to sup with you this morning, Jesus, because I'm about to go into a battle. I'm about to go into something that I can't explain. I'm about to go into something that I can't put my finger on and I can't name. There's a battle that's brewing in front of me and it's going to tear everything apart. God, I need your wisdom. I need you to go before me. I need you to lead me through the valley of the shadow of death. I need you to help me through this situation. I've been out of sync. I've been out of step. I've been busy. I've allowed this world to cause me to be weary. But God, I'm going to make sure that I have time to get into your presence, to align myself with you. Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Isata yaralasi. Isata yaralasi. Isoto koyaralosata yasata yata. He took o yorolo sata yandara la shoko yorolo sata yara la si. Oh, I can make it on my own. No, you can't. There can't be any more of a hopeless feeling than those people that were cast into the Colosseum with lions. And they stood there with their bare hands as these lions came upon them and devoured them bite by bite. Helplessness. I come to church, okay. But are you in sync with Him? Oh, I show up every Sunday morning, but are you in sync with Him? Oh, I teach a class, but are you in sync with Him? Oh, I'm in a ministry, but are you in sync with Him? God didn't call me to Moss Bluff to build a crowd. He called me to Moss Bluff to create a church that when His trumpet sounds, that most of us, hopefully, He's going to be able to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want to be the biggest church in town, but if we're the biggest church in town and only 100 of us are going to heaven, we have failed. We can be the biggest church in town, but we've got to be in sync with Him. We've got to be in sync with Him. Oh, this is Sunday morning. You're supposed to preach peace, love, and happiness. I do just about every Sunday. We've got people strong from Dan to Beersheba on Wednesdays and in Sunday school. Somewhere God's saying, hey, we've got to get a hold of this. There's been a surge. There's been people that came in. There's been Bible studies, and it feels like it's coming back, but there's got to be people that say, not this time. Not this time. We're moving forward. We're moving forward. We're taking ground. We're not giving up anything that we've taken. We're not backing up. We're going to sit down at the table. What is it that you want me to do, God? Oh, you want me to turn off my TV? You're telling me you want me to give up my media? I'm not willing to. Wait a minute. If I give up something, you're telling me that I'm going to gain more ground in the next 6 months than I've gained in the past 10 years? You're telling me if I begin to change some things in my life and I get back in sync with you, that my children are going to come back? You're telling me that you can create an atmosphere around me because of the sacrifice that I'm willing to make, that it creates an atmosphere that all of a sudden hell says, well, I think we'll just leave them alone for a while because they've taken it to a whole another level. As we all stand this morning, this is like nothing I've ever done. In the 2 years, next week it'll be 2 years that I've been here. This is like nothing I've never done before here. There are people, you stand in this room, and when I mentioned it, when I talked about it, you've got things in your life right now that you can't even name. What's going on in your life right now? You can't even put a name on it. You can't even figure out why it is what it is. You can't even figure out what's going on. You can't even figure out how it got to the place it is. You can't even figure out what is happening and the dysfunction that's going on. And instead of facing it, you just keep running from it. Instead of facing it, you just keep being distracted. Instead of facing it, instead of standing up to it and fighting it and trying to make something happen, Brother Pugh, you don't understand. My background, my stuff. You don't go through what I go through. Answer your call to preach and see how much hell wants to destroy your home. Step into the will of God and find out how much Satan wants to destroy your life at every corner and every turn. You've got to understand that if we're going to make it, you've got to make up your mind every day. Oh, there was something that came against my family in the last 6 months. And I would sit there and shake my head. Where did this come from? What is this about? What is going on here? Why is this going on? There's no reason for this. What is happening in my world? Why has this been created in my family? In my home? And you can sit back and you can watch it happen. Or you can make up your mind, God, I've got to get in sync with you. God, I've got to get in sync with you. I've got to get in sync with you. I've got to get in sync with you. There's something about it, because when you begin to finish reading chapter 7, it's not hopelessness that begins to talk about it. But he says, the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom and everlasting kingdom and all dominion shall serve and obey him. When was the last time that you felt like you had dominion in your life? Dominion. That word means control, that you have control of some of the circumstances in your life. There's something about it. There was something that moved into this place earlier, and it's still here, that God wants to begin to shake some things in some people's life this morning. We're going to do something I've never done in this since I've been here, but I'm opening this altar up. If there are people in this room, that there are things in your life right now that you can't name, if there are things that are going on in your world right now that you cannot name, I want you to come to the front right now and say, God, I'm giving it to you right now.